Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it wasn't until this morning when I realized how excited I was to ask you to greet each other and pass the peace of Christ, how much I had really missed that part of the service. And I'm sure many of you had missed it also, and it brought me so much joy to watch as you all did that this morning. It gives us a chance to extend words of peace to one another, to greet people and strengthen our connections as a church family. And I know it's really awkward for some people and really joyful for others, but there really is a deep theological meaning behind the practice of passing the peace of Christ. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. This tradition to offer one another a sign of love and reconciliation is based on early Christian practices. Jesus greeted his disciples with the words, "Peace be with you." Paul begins many of his letters with the words, "Peace and grace to you." It reminds us that we are called to do whatever we can to be peacemakers in the world. And it also helps us to be reconciled to one another. It's a liturgical practice. So, you know, the series Ordinary Things, we started talking about the idea of liturgy. And what is liturgy? It's rituals that help to shape our worship and thus our faith. And so passing the peace is one of those rituals. It's one of those traditions that we do repetitively. And so this cumulative impact of doing it week after week can be contagious. And it can condition our hearts and our minds in the ways of peace. And I know that our tradition here is to do it at the beginning of the service, as we did after announcements. But if you look at more traditional liturgies and like look at the book of worship for how a service is laid out, it's not at the beginning of the service, it's more in the middle, often within the practice of Holy Communion. That after the invitation and after the confession, we offer one another signs of peace and reconciliation. It's a physical enactment of the reality that we cannot approach the table of the Prince of Peace if we are not at peace with our neighbor. We say, "Peace be with you," meaning the peace of Christ be with you. And offering each other peace in this small way can make a really big difference in our lives, but also in the world. You know, I think as Christians, it is possible for us to get caught up in proclaiming radical love for the world while we are possibly neglecting the really small and ordinary opportunities we have to extend love and forgiveness and grace to those closest to us. So making peace is our ordinary thing today. This idea of liturgy shaping our worship extends to what are the things shaping our everyday life. So the author of the book that this is based on, called Liturgy of the Ordinary, takes everyday common activities and thinks about how those can impact our faith life. Last week, we talked about making the bed. Next week, we're going to talk about sleeping and waking. And this week, the title of the chapter is Fighting with My Husband, Passing the Peace and the Everyday Work of Shalom. In a nutshell, the author is asking us to consider that Christ's challenge to love our neighbors may be most tested within our own homes. And that with those who are closest to us, it is sometimes hardest to live out that commandment. The author admits to being a pacifist who yells at her husband. And it's a reminder that we can't make peace with the world if we don't have peace among ourselves. The scripture today comes from the book of 2 Corinthians. Paul is writing to the members of the church of Corinth, which is in Greece. It's believed to have been written somewhere between 50 and 60 AD. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians about all of the disagreements and the disobedience that were happening within the church that were causing sorrow and division. And he gives them instruction and counsel for holding fast to the foundations of their faith and offers suggestions and instruction for reconciling with one another and how they should be in fellowship together. He continues this encouragement in 2 Corinthians, and our reading today is about the ministry of reconciliation, and it's in chapter 5, verses 14 to 21. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin when knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. These are God's words for God's people. Thanks be to God. These verses are a reminder that our reconciliation to God through Christ Jesus should be manifested in peace with one another. That we cannot claim peace of God unless we are at peace with our own neighbors. Paul knows, as he writes this, that the Corinthians are not at peace with one another. We can read 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, chapter 6, chapter 11, and read about the divisions that were dividing the church. He might have told them to be reconciled to one another, but he doesn't. He makes an even deeper appeal. He tells them to be reconciled to God, and reconciliation with one another should follow. So it is this reminder that receiving God's forgiveness and reconciliation enables us to give and receive reconciliation to those around us. The idea that because God loves us, we can love one another. And so we should have a daily liturgy of ordinary peace among us that can work its way into small, perhaps even unnoticed moments. So think about all the times maybe you've held a door for someone, or said excuse me, or bless you, or let someone pass, shown patience with your spouse or your children or a friend, or perhaps genuinely celebrated a friend's good fortune when you yourself are in the midst of some terrible struggle. These small acts of kindness and little opportunities to extend grace to others who mess up, who annoy you, who get in your way, can be part of our daily liturgy of peace. You know, I used to hate paper towel commercials. I mean, I still do. We don't watch commercials very much anymore because we stream everything, right? But when I see them, I really hate paper towel commercials because the parents who are using the paper towels to clean up the mess look so happy, right? There was, some of you may be old enough to remember these Bounty commercials that were in the 90s, and there's this kid like climbing in the refrigerator and the egg falls on the ground, and the mom is just super happy to pull her paper towel out and wipe up the mess, and then another one where the juice gets spilled, and again, here comes dad super happy to clean up the mess and use the paper towels. And then the tagline for it was, Bounty means never having to say you're sorry. Yeah. They kind of made me feel like a bad mom because I wasn't super happy when I had to use my paper towels to clean up some giant mess. But as I got older, I realized that the mess isn't any easier to clean up if you're angry about it. And damaging words and hurt feelings that come from yelling about what was probably an accident isn't going to make it easier to clean up either. And it's not even going to keep it from happening again. So it doesn't mean we have to be super happy like they are in the commercials, but maybe we just sort of, you know, quietly clean it up or give a little grace to whoever made the mess, most likely by accident. Like, it doesn't have to be a big thing, right? So this is just a simple example of a really ordinary moment in our lives when we can choose grace and peace. And as we build those small and ordinary moments, repeated over and over, we create peace. Mother Teresa once said, "Peace begins in the home." And then that peace spills out into our community, which spills out into our cities, which can spill out to the world. Because the peace that we have in our small sphere and the peace in a broader sphere are tied together. How can we expect world peace if we cannot create and experience peace on a small scale? So we need to think about if we're creating separate peace for our life, our ordinary life, and the world. Do we have different rules for how we interact with people in public versus in private? Do we show more grace and patience to people that we don't even know than we do to the people who are closest to us? Do we advocate more for groups of people we don't personally know than we do for the people that we have with us in our daily lives? I think when we think about peacemakers, we think of extraordinary examples like Mother Teresa and Martin Luther King Jr. But to God, there is no difference between ordinary and radical believers. We are all called to be children of God, to offer the radical love and grace to everyone, those closest to us included. So passing the peace is neither radical or ordinary. It's just a Christian habit that we are meant to practice. And are we going to fail at it? Yep. We're going to blow it really often. We're going to offer sarcasm when we should offer a genuine response. We're going to yell when we should speak quietly. Or we're just going to shove it down and let resentment build until it finally breaks us. Because we're all broken people, and we're given by our nature to quarrel with one another. Remember, I said last week that we don't become the people that God wants us to be by accident. We have to take intentional steps that allow God to reform us to be people who build God's kingdom of peace. And taking that time to do the repetitive act of extending our arms or our hand to our neighbors and saying, "Peace of Christ be with you." And then letting that carry over into our everyday life is a way to do that. But I do think it's important to take a couple seconds to say that God has called us to be peacemakers, not necessarily always peacekeepers, which is a different thing. Peace is reconciliation. So what is it not? Peace is not merely the avoidance of conflict. The word conflict really gets a bad rap because it's neutral. It can be good or bad. It just depends on how we handle it. Peace is not appeasement of others, sometimes at great cost to ourselves. Peace is not accommodation, letting others do whatever they wish in order to avoid confrontation. And peace may involve compromise, but it should never include a compromise of our faith. The peace of Christ that we extend to one another is not a cheap peace. It's not always nicey-nice. It doesn't deny hurt where there is hurt. It doesn't gloss over problems just to make everything feel comfortable. It takes time, and it requires vulnerability, and it requires honest and brave conversation. And it's important to remember that when we pass the peace of Christ, because sometimes it seems so impossible to do, it's important to remember that God is the peacemaker. We are asking that God would do something that we cannot, so that we can extend peace, not of our own making, but the peace of Christ, our Redeemer. That's why Paul, in his letter, didn't say, you should reconcile with one another. He said, you should reconcile with God. And the fruit of that reconciliation through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit living within you should equip you to then reconcile with one another. And it takes a lot of faith to even believe that that is possible sometimes. It takes faith to think that our ordinary efforts of peacekeeping have anything to do with cosmic peace on earth. It takes faith to believe that God is slowly and through our repentance and sanctification making us into people who are capable of saying to the world through our lives, peace of Christ be with you. Our sending song today is one of my favorites. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. May that be our challenge as we move forward into our ordinary days this week, inhabiting the practice of peace. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you today grateful to be gathered with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But some of us are weary and battle-worn. Help us to stay steadfast in our faith and to keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, grant us peace as we struggle with uncertainty, and help us to be full of grace and compassion when we deal with others. Help us to love others as you have loved us. Lord, we thank you for your never-ending patience with us and ask that you would help us to be peacemakers so that we may point others toward you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.